Kind of interesting when, as I said at the very beginning, that a lot of this happened today because of holiday schedule, and so it's kind of like the guy leading worship takes a break to move over to transition into the sermon. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, because I'm just kind of giving some fill time and just kind of making something up so we can transition into this. But anyway, we're looking at Psalm 105 today. Psalm 105, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. I remember several years ago, and if you heard me talk about this before, I'm not sure if I did or not. A lot of times things run together as far as what I shared, what I didn't share, and so bear with me if I'm repeating myself. As you know, it's a good thing to repeat yourself. But I remember years ago, I was in training class when I was a supervisor in management. And in the one day in the training class, they said, I can guarantee you there is one word everybody here loves to hear. And so people started shouting out guesses of like, what's the one word that everybody would have in common? Everybody loves to hear one word. And we all were shouting out different guesses, and he said, he continually would say, no, not that one, no, but he said, I know every single one. Finally, he told us, he said, because every one of you loves to hear your name. Right? Now, I guess it depends on the context in which the name is used. I remember growing up, there was times I didn't want to hear my name from my parents. I would rather them not, especially when they threw that middle name in. Oh, that's when I knew things were really bad. And by the way, you're never going to find out what that is, just so you know. Nobody should ask. You're not going to find out. But names are interesting, aren't they? I was doing some research this week about names, and it's really something how you see names. They take this popularity thing, and then they move away, and then we don't have that name anymore. Now we moved on to another name. And it's kind of like when you look at how etymology and how terminology and words work. If you look back, I was looking also this week in the 17th century, there were a lot of words that were used that we don't use today. Like, for example, did anybody this week use the word huzzah? It's H-U-Z-Z-A-H. H-U-Z-Z-A-H. It's from the 17th century. Anybody want to throw out a guess at what it means? Congratulations. That was the common term for congratulations in the 17th century. So if you got married, hey, huzzah, right? You got that new promotion, hey, huzzah, right? So I want to challenge all of you, and I want 100% participation, and I know that every time I ask for 100% participation, I don't get it, but I'm going to ask for it. And that is, I want all of you to, this week, find a way to use the word huzzah. Find a way, some way, shape, or form to use that word. And the best way would be to use it without any context at all. Just sit down at the table, you're ready to eat, and just go, huzzah. And just see what the response is. When you go to the barber or a beautician, whichever, and you sit in the chair, just shout out, huzzah, and just see what they do, right? If you're just walking down the road and there's a stranger passing you, huzzah, and just see what they do. Now, I don't want to cause any conflict or any violence out there. It might cause that. But if you happen to do that, send me the context, video or text, whichever. Send me the context in which you use the term huzzah. Because etymology terms are very interesting. And as I've talked to you before, but depending on the era you grew up in, I remember when the word cool actually meant cool. As in not hip, using another one. But when I was growing up, cool kind of stopped. And it was like my parents' word. cool. You know, like Fonzie. Hey, cool. You know, all that going back then, you know? Fonzie's one of my heroes, by the way. I mean, he has to be. Who can take an elbow and turn on a jukebox? He has to be your hero. But the whole idea of cool, then it stopped. Then it was kind of, for lack of a better way to put it, when I was in high school, it was uncool to say cool because it was no longer the in word. And then cool kind of came back. Now, we also have the term groovy. Notice I'm backing up on that one. Because I've never used that one. I've never. There's some over here who have, or some, yeah, but I've never. And probably my guess would be, even if we were in an era where the word groovy was cool, I probably still wouldn't use it, most likely. Chances are. But names are also different. When you talk about names, and before I go any further, I don't want to offend anybody here. Is there anybody here named Gertrude? Anybody? Okay, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Because, well, first of all, some of you have heard me use the term before. Vacation Bible School this summer, I go back for the ice cream, and I cut in front of the kids, and the kids saw me, and some of you witnessed this, and man, I was mobbed. All the kids grabbed me, get to the end of the line, and they pushed me back. So I go through, and I get my ice cream. I come back in for seconds. And they say, oh, so you're getting seconds. I said, no, this isn't for me. And they said, well, who's it for? I said, it's for the person in the auditorium who asked me to get their ice cream. And they said, who's that? And I said, Gertrude. Now, why did I choose Gertrude? Well, because it's an interesting name. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody here or anybody's relatives, for that matter, of the term. But I looked this up, and it's really interesting. The name Gertrude, find it here. It was a pinnacle of fashion a century ago. 100 years ago, the name Gertrude was a pinnacle of fashion. 100 years ago. So in other words, hey, here you go. If you were named Gertrude, you were cool. You were groovy. Yeah, who knows what they were saying then. Whatever cool meant back then. But Gertrude reached as high as the number 23 in popularity names in 1900. It made the top 25 list as number 23 for what the most popular name was. But it dropped off the list completely in 1966. Makes me wonder, why did it drop off? I didn't really research that. Maybe there was a Gertrude who did something very bad. And that's why nobody names their kid Judas, if you think about it. But anyway, names are interesting, right? So I want you to think about your name, and some of you know the origin of your name. But when you talk about names and the history of names, there's very interesting movements and cultural understandings of why that name is used and what the purpose of the name is. You've heard the idea of invoking somebody's name, and invoking somebody's name is actually inviting them into what is happening. And that is what the psalmist is saying here today. Because what the psalmist is saying here today, if we back up to the next, the first slide, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Now, that's the focus today. Call on his name. Just those four words. Call on his name. So as I was researching this and studying this week, I was trying my best, and I'm sure you've done this with scripture also. I was trying my best to make this mean what it doesn't mean. Anybody ever tried that with scripture? You run across the scripture like, wait, oh, I don't like that. Let me research it. I'm sure that's not what it means. Let me find something. One that comes to mind is Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. If you know that one, there's a convicting one. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5 says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of impurity or of greed. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Did you notice at the beginning he said there must not be a hint of any of those things in your life? Wow. Let's research that because I'm sure he didn't mean that. right? We do that with Scripture a lot of times, right? We don't want to take, we want to be, wait, that can't be, that's not possible. Nobody can live, no, and we try to find justification so we don't have to live according to it. I found myself kind of doing that this week because the whole idea of calling on his name, when you look in the Hebrew and you look in the Greek, and this is used all throughout the Scripture, it's used over, I think, 400 times throughout the Scripture, you'll see this, to call on God or call on the Lord, over 400 times. So it's an important idea. Joel, and then it also happens in Romans, and it also happens in 2 Peter, where we are told that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Now, when he's telling them here, he's saying to call on the name of the Lord, when he says to, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, what is happening here is you're invoking his name. Yes, you're doing that. But as you study the terminology of Hebrew and Greek, when this is used, you can't get away from the way, from what this actually means, and that it's a verbal calling upon his name. In other words, it's out loud. It's not your inside, your head. I don't know if your kids ever did that. The whole idea, in my head, I'm doing it, in my head. Did you get this done? Yeah, I got it done in my head. And usually what that meant was it probably wasn't done. It was done in my head. My favorite one was when they were very little, and there was a little skirmish, some kind of conflict, and then it was like, okay, we talk about it. I said, okay, now you need to apologize. Now you tell her you're sorry. Did you hear me? Tell her you're sorry. I did. I didn't hear you. In my head. Here's a good one. Yeah, I apologized. Really? Nobody heard it? Well, I apologized in my head. Yeah, I'm covered, right? See, that's the thing with this. The whole idea of calling on his name, it's a verbal calling. And in fact, if you go back to the Hebraic idea, it's the gusto. It's the calling on the name. It's a shouting, yelling. It's almost a screaming of invoking the name of Jesus. That's really interesting, isn't it? Whole idea of calling on his name. If you think about the idea, what's happening is there's something that's, there's a spiritual connotation to this. In other words, it's something that doesn't make sense to us physically because it's a spiritual connotation to understand what is this, what's actually happening. So I say the word Jesus. I mean, I could say it in vain. Yeah, you could. You could say it as a swear word. Yeah, absolutely. There is a reason, if you think about it, there is a reason why there are many countries where you cannot say that name. You can't say it. It's illegal. Don't you dare utter that name. Why do you think that is? And you remember that it's at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At his name. Like the hymn writer said, there's just something about that name. So I wanted to ask you, like, when was the last time you've actually done that? As a follower of Jesus, when was the last time you actually called out his name to the idea of invoking his name? While I was growing up, and I was grew up in the church, when I was in high school, evangelists would come through. They came through and did revival services. And I remember I was probably 14 or 15, and I was there at every revival service, every evangelist. I heard every single one because our family was always there. It wasn't a choice. We had to be there. And I remember sitting there, and they introduced this evangelist, and I thought, oh, here we go again. I'm just going to daydream for the next half hour, 45 minutes, hour, because that's what teenagers do in church. Just seeing if there's any body language I'm picking up on there. But so that's what happened. But this guy, man, he got up there and he started, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. His delivery was exceptional. Everything about it, he had my attention the whole time. He's actually known now as one of the greatest expositors of the scriptures and the entire holiness movement. And I ended up, as I graduated college, I ended up becoming part of his ministry. He became one of my mentors, and I began studying under him. But he would have interns that would travel with him. He would have, that were also studying to be in the ministry. And there was one guy over here that was somewhat irritating during this revival, because every night he's up there giving a great message, as he always would. And there was one guy over here, one of his interns actually over here, and every time he would pause, you know, like the pregnant pause or like the intentional pause to make a point, he'd always utter, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And it wouldn't have been so bad. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I don't want to offend. And I hope I didn't offend any Gertrudes out there on live stream. Any Gertrudes, I'm sorry. But this might be offensive also. But it wasn't that bad, except for the accent that he had. He's in the middle of preaching, and he pauses. And then over here, we hear a, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Every single time the man paused. The entire week of services, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Especially as a youngster, I got kind of irritated by that. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, I should like hire one of you guys to do that some Sunday just to see what their response is. You're shaking your head yes, I think. Is that what? Oh, that's a no. Okay. You don't want to do that. Yeah, she's turning red. Look at her. Make her turn a little bit more red. Oh, she's hiding now. Okay. Well, at least now it's pretty obvious who it was. So... but no, the whole idea of Jesus, but when I look on that, the whole idea is that he was doing something amazing in that moment, because he was invoking the name of Jesus. Even if it was irritating, even if it was a way I didn't like or didn't say, there's something about invoking the name of Jesus. Maybe it's your situation that you're facing and you don't know why. Have you invoked the name of Jesus? Or when's the last time you have invoked the name of Jesus? When's the last time you've called on the name of Jesus? Because you call on a lot of other stuff, don't you? You go to a lot of other places for advice and suggestions. When's the last time you just called on his name and just said, "Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I call on your name. Jesus, Jesus. My very first church as a young minister, we had two college students who started to attend. They were kind of their best friends, and just out of the blue, they started to attend. I think it was through some relation in the church, and little by little, they started to attend regularly. And then finally, it was like a Saturday evening, they called me, and they asked me if there was any way they could speak to me and that night. And so they ended up taking me out for coffee. And anybody who knows me, I had a Coke. I don't drink coffee, but I have no problem if you invite me for coffee. I will come. I just won't drink the coffee. So we're sitting there, and they're drinking coffee, and they're talking. And so the reason that this happened was the one friend right here, he was the one who made the call. He made the call because he knew this friend needed to talk to me because he was struggling spiritually. And so the way that he explained it was that he was in a moment in time in his life that he wanted to give his heart to Christ, but he had so many other things around him were conflicting. And so we started to talk this whole thing through. We started to talk about his life, started to talk about his background in knowing Christ, his background in spirituality, which he had quite a bit. He grew up in the church and a lot of things that he kind of knew a lot about God. And so it got to the point where after about an hour went by, I could tell that every answer I gave him, he kind of deflected every one, and he kind of just found a way to justify why he shouldn't do what I was suggesting. Okay? After an hour of that, it gets old after a while. You ever been in that situation? It gets old after an hour. You're trying everything possible, and then it's like, okay, you know, I'm not even going to waste my time anymore. So finally, he says to me, as he already said, he repeated this several times in the conversation, but he says to me at this moment, he said, "I mean, here's the deal. I want to do this. I really do. I want to commit my life to Christ." And I finally just stopped him. And he said, but, and I stopped him. And I said, no, you don't. He looked at me, he didn't know what to say. He smiled and he goes, I don't? With that sarcastic look. And I said, no, you don't. I said, because if you wanted to, you would have done it. I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. So time went on. The three of us continued to talk more, probably another hour or so. And then finally it got to the point where his heart was softening up. So I suggested we drive over to the church. We drive over to the church. He would come into an empty church on a late Saturday night. He comes down to the altar. His friend, myself, we're praying over him, praying with him. And I said, this is what I think you should do in this moment. I said, what I think you should do, I don't think I should tell you what to repeat after me. I don't think I'm the one that should be praying anymore. I think you should be praying. And I think you should be praying whatever it is out loud that you think you need to pray to Jesus. And of course, he balked at that too and said, I don't want to do that. I don't know why it has to be out loud. It doesn't make any sense. And I said, just do it. I don't know. Just do it. So he bows his head. He folds his hands. Tears start to come. You could just see the tenseness, everything raging within him. And he just shouts out and he said, Jesus, take control of my life. Please. In that moment, something happened. And I just wonder, how often is that really all that needs to happen? Sometimes we get so sidetracked with this whole Christianity thing this is my personality type, so I have this tendency, or I have this temptation. You don't understand my temptations. I have these temptations, and you have those temptations, and you don't understand my struggles. You have your struggles. I have my struggles. So I'm going to spend a lot of time just dealing with my struggles over here. I want to just figure out my struggles and why I struggle with what I struggle with, and even the fact that I even struggle with struggling about my struggles, because I'm just trying to figure out my struggles because it's so struggling, because life is just nothing but a struggle. Everywhere I look, I just struggle. I struggle, struggle, figure out my struggles. I don't even know what my struggles are. What are my struggles? I'm struggling to figure out my struggle. When maybe all we need to do is call upon his name. And maybe all we need to do is say, Jesus, I don't know how to run my life. Jesus, I need you. You know what keeps us from doing that? I mean, I'm making some assumptions there. Maybe you're here and nothing is keeping you from doing it, and you do it, and that's fine. But if you happen to be here today and you find yourself not calling upon his name as Scripture tells us to do, I have some suggestions of what might be keeping you from doing that. And the first one is the same reason probably why none of you are going to participate in the whole huzzah exercise. Why is that? Well, if I shout huzzah, I mean, it's embarrassing. Why? I have my pride. Do you think that has anything to do with why we don't? Yeah, I'd call on his name, but I don't really need to. I mean, come on. I mean, people that call on his name, those are the ones that really are in desperate. Now, I'm not that bad, and I don't do things as bad as so-and-so does. And, you know, people that call on his name, that just doesn't, that, you know, I don't fall into that category. I mean, I'm not horrible. And so pride gets in the way. And then we get to the point where it's almost like we even kid ourselves and we tell ourselves this, even though it's not true, and even though sometimes we know it's not true, we tell ourselves, I can figure this out. I don't need to call on him. I got this. Really? Yeah, I got this. Well, let me ask you, how's that working out for you? If you have this and you're so good at life, how's it working out for you right now? Have you failed recently? Have you disappointed yourself recently? Have you set goals and you didn't keep the goals? I mean, how's it really working out? Because as we know, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Without God, we're a mess. We're a disaster, all of us. It doesn't matter who we are, how long we've been in church, how long we claim we walked with Christ, how much scripture we know. All of us are at the foot of the cross, as one said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There isn't anybody who's a greater Christian or a small. We're all in desperate need of Him wherever we find ourselves. And my guess would be that every single person here within the sound of my voice has some struggle with the word pride. Because I don't need to do something like that. I don't need to call on His name. I mean, you're asking for. So let's just try this today. Might be weird, might be odd, might be strange, but any of you that know me know that I'm all of those things combined, weird, odd, and strange. But what if we just did that together? You know, I thought about the Jewish culture, and I don't know if there's anybody here who has a Jewish background or anybody here who is Jewish. I mean, you're welcome to be here if you're Jewish. But I understand that my understanding of the Jewish culture is that when it comes to prayer time and when it comes to prayer, it's a community effort. It's a corporate effort. It isn't individual. As in Christianity, we focus on the individual. But at the same time, I think Scripture teaches we kind of miss something with the idea of a corporate prayer, even as Christians. Even though we have our individual walk with Christ, there's something about the corporate prayer idea. And I believe there's something about a multitude of people calling on His name together. So this is what I want us to do. On the count of three, I want all of us to call on His name in this moment. And as we do that, I want you to think about what it is that you need Jesus right now to do more than anything in your life. Whatever that is, meditate on that. And then on the count of three, we're going to invoke His name together and we're going to say out loud, Jesus. One, two, three. Jesus. One more time. One, two, three. Jesus. I know I said one more time. Sorry. One more time. One, two, three. Jesus. And let's stand together.